bright sunshiny day.
Do you have 2020 vision? That's the question. Some of you say, no, Pastor, that's why I got these glasses. Of course I don't have 2020 vision. And what I'm saying to you, it's possible to have contacts and glasses and have 2020 vision without having 2020 vision. And when we're talking about 2020 vision, we're not talking about can I see in the natural. We're talking about a spiritual principle here that can I clearly see God's plan for my life? Can I clearly see where God's trying to take me? Can I see beyond the clouds that are in my way? Can I see beyond this present storm? And can I see the sun beginning to come up? Because the Bible was very clear. It says that weeping may last for a season, throughout the night, right? But it says joy returns when? In the morning. And so 2020 vision is this, that God, even though I may be walking in the middle of a storm right now, I can just begin to see in my spirit that God, there's a new day about to rise in my house. There's a new day about to rise in my life. God, the sun will shine again, and I'll be stronger. I'll be more blessed coming through this than when I came into this. Because God, that's the way you operate in my life. It's 2020. And not only for our life, 2020 vision is helping other people see as well. You know, many people are consumed with darkness. Many people have allowed darkness to settle in their life, and their vision is clouded with the dark skies. Even though the sun may be shining on the outside, inwardly, they've allowed darkness to consume them. It's like a pool of darkness. And what I want you to know today is this, is that the Bible says the very first thing that God did on the first day, that he looked out upon the void, the darkness of the world and universe, and he spoke the words, "Let there be light," and there was light. He did that on day one, but you realize he didn't create the sun and the moon until day four, which simply tells us this, is that the sun and moon are not our light source. God is our light source, and he's using them to be a source of light, but all light comes from him. And the power of his spoken word, light came forth and defeated the darkness. And in us, we got to realize that we may be consuming with things happening. We may have the darkness around us, but we have the power to speak out over the darkness. We have the power to speak out. And I want to talk to you about that power today. We have the power to speak out over the darkness in our life, in other people's lives, and allow the encouragement to come from God over ourselves and over others. There is power. The Bible says that we are created in God's image. It says that he, from the dust of the ground, that he breathed life into us. And if we are created in his image, if we're created in the image of God, if he's got his DNA in me, we got to realize there are power in our words. With the spoken word, God said, let it be, and it was. He said, let it happen, and it happened. Let it happen. And the earth formed, and the animals were there, and the plants and the vegetation grew, and the water separated itself from the earth, and the universe was there. The stars and the moon and the sun, they were hung at the power of his word. The spoken word. God created in the spoken word. And so we got to realize there is very much power in our spoken word. And so we got to learn how to speak out and use our voice. It becomes the most powerful thing that God has for us. How many remember playing the game as a kid, Marco Polo, in the pool? Remember that? Yeah, you get in the pool and you close your eyes and you can't peek. And then you got to tag somebody. And they can move around, but only rule is if you say Marco, they say what? Marco. Marco. And then you use your ears to find out where that person is at. You can either hear where they're at, and oftentimes you can hear them splashing around trying to get away from you. And you got to tag them, but you can't cheat. You got to use your ears. And for many of us here, We have been drowning in darkness, and somebody's calling out to you today, and he wants to call you out of that dark place. He wants to call you out of that pool you're in and say, come to me, son, daughter, I got a better thing for you. I got a blessing waiting for you. I want to call you out of those deep waters. Follow my voice. See, 2020 vision is just not what I can see. It's what I can hear. I gotta follow the voice of God. I got to learn to hear clearly so that I can see clearly. And not only that, but I've also got to learn that the reason why God saved my life and pulled me out of that mess and pulled me out of that darkness is he wants my voice now to help pull others out as well. He wants your voice now to help save others. He wants your voice now to bring others out of that darkness. One of our most used verses around here, we like this because it fits so many areas of our life. It's Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of what? And let's say it again. The tongue has the power of life and death. We realize this. We have been given a power of life and death in our tongue. Many people have the lasting fruit in your life of the negative words that have been spoken over you. People spoke negative words when you were just a child, and they've stuck with you all your life. Some people have spoken negative words as a teenager. Some people have spoken negative words in your last marriage, your last job, wherever it was. You've had things said over you that were negative, and that spirit has been hanging around you. It's been evident in your life. It's affected your self-confidence. It's affected your self-identity. It's affected your present marriage. It's affected your ability to parent correctly. These negative words. And I'm here today to say you're not going to live there any longer. God is calling you out. God is calling you out to a new season. God's calling you out to a new place. God wants you out of that place. And the power of our words can lift people up or they can put them back down. Our tongue can create life or death. Look what it says here in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. We talked about it last week, remember? I had those lights. We were up here dancing around. It was great. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp, then puts it under the basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone. It gives light to who? Everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds... How about this? Let's say, let your good words shine out. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. We got to realize our words have the power of life and death. Let's rephrase that a little bit and let it make more sense today. Our words have the power of light and darkness because light creates life. Light will reproduce life. The light will reproduce life. And the darkness will cause things to die off. And so we know that our words have the power of life and death. They have the power to produce light into a situation, the light of hope, the light of optimism, the light of God's power, the light of change, the light of redemption, the light of forgiveness, encouragement, the light of blessing, or our words will keep people in the negative place. They will keep people living in a dark place. They will keep people living in the shadows. What are your words doing? What are my words doing? You know, think about people who have encouraged you all your life. Think about people who had a high impact on you. Think about that teacher or that coach, that boss, that pastor or youth pastor, or family member or mentor, somebody who believed in you and spoke over you and made a lasting impact. I can think about, for me, one of the earliest memories was I was playing football in third and fourth grade. And I remember in third and fourth grade, we were just, you know, kids going crazy. And on my team, every week I played a different position, Corey. I would play like DN 1 week, D tackle next week. I play linebacker the next week. Play cornerback the next week. Next week I'm playing, you know, receiver and line. I mean, every week was different position, all over the place. You know, it's like kids of that age. Ah! Everybody's going crazy. But I remember we third and fourth graders, we couldn't wait to get on the fifth and sixth grade team because they were the older kids. And they were just a little bit more organized. And I remember the coach, my last game of the fourth grade, he came to me and he says, "Hey, BB." I'm like, "He knows my name. Mr. Perkins knows my name. Come here. Son of it, I've been watching you play." He goes, "I want you to know you got some ability." He goes, "I've already got a spot picked out for you next year on my team. You better not get in trouble this summer. You better not get in trouble in the school year. Make some good grades, because if you don't, well, I'm going to get you on my team, and I've already got your spot picked out." I was like, "What? This coach is not even coaching me, and he's already telling me that I was going to be a good player for him?" My confidence grew right away. And when I got on his team, he would tell me things like, "This boy is so tough. BB, you're so tough, you can chew nails and spit them out." Man, I was so little. I was light. Believe it or not, I was really, really skinny. And I was like, you know, but he made me believe I could run through a brick wall. And he made me believe that, man, I could tear someone's helmet off. He made me believe that, man, I was the most physical guy on the field, because he believed in me. And I remember toward the end of my sixth grade year, we were at the football game on a Friday night at varsity, and we were there, and the junior high coach came by, and he said, "Come here, BB." He goes, "This is going to be your coach next year." "Coach, all right, this kid, I'm telling you right now, this kid, he's tough as nails. You better use him. He's a player. He's coming ready to play." You know what he did for me? You know the confidence that he lifted me up? I'm telling you, we don't understand the power of our words lift people up. I was talking to my son Landon, and he was telling me a story about his freshman year, how he, you know, when you come in as a freshman out of high school and you go into a D1 program, it can be overwhelming, because you get a couple of weeks and you're right into camp, doing your camp, and then right into the season. And so his first year, he was behind the learning curve, because he had never played in that kind of offense before. And so he had to go to the pro set, where he had been in a run set offense, mostly running the ball, power run. And now he's having to do pro pass blocking. And it's a lot different in technique and how you do things, like you've never done it before. And so it can be really hard on the confidence when you're behind the eight ball and you don't understand what's really going on. And you got to learn it as you go. And after his freshman year, he redshirted. And so he really didn't get a lot of extra practice. He didn't get a lot of personal teaching. But after his freshman year, he was feeling like, "Man, can I do this?" You know, he's kind of having self-doubt. Can I play at this level? Can I really produce at this level? Maybe I was over my head. And he said during the spring, before they started the spring practice, the coach called him in, the position coach called him in and said, "Landon, I know you haven't had a chance to really get a lot of practice, but this spring I'm going to really spend some time teaching you." And he goes, "And I want you to know something." He goes, "Dude, you're going to play a lot of ball here, and you're going to do really well at this level. And you're going to be a future starter here, and you're going to contribute a lot. You're going to do really good here at this level. I just want you to know that." And Landon said, "Man, just those words of affirmation lifted his spirit up, and all of a sudden, he began to learn things faster, and he was more hungry to learn, and felt like he could do this." And of course, last year as a redshirt freshman, he ended up starting 5 out of 10 games as a redshirt freshman. It would be pretty awesome, but that happened, started right there. He could have probably said, "You know what, I'm not good enough to do this at this level," but take a D1 coach, say, "Yeah, you are, you're going to get a lot of game here." You're going to, just the power of those words, we got to understand the power of our words are either lifting people up, taking them to a new level, or they are keeping them down, and they are pressing them down, and keeping them, and we're just adding negative fruit, and adding things into their backpack of heavy things to carry. Are you allowing God to use your words? I want you to learn to speak out. Speak out. What does speak out mean? When we say speak out, it means using our voice to plant seeds, encourage, strengthen, comfort, call forth greatness, unlock potential, and launch new possibilities in people's lives. I love speaking into people's lives. I love when I was able to coach. My kids are growing up, try to coach their football teams and basketball teams. And if they play baseball, it's out there, you know, "You can do it," you know, all those things, encouraging kids. And I love the kids who have no athletic ability who come out anyway, because they can just see, man, they just like, you know, "I don't belong here." And I just love the transformation that happens, because every day I'm like, "Man, you're going to have a good practice today. Man, you're going to have a good, you're getting better. Man, you're getting tough. And when they finally do something right, I just like run up and grab them and yeah, you know, we just celebrate as a team. The whole team claps for them, breaks it down for them. And you can just see their confidence level skyrocket and go to a new place. I love seeing that happening in our kids as we just simply learn to speak over them. I love it when I have people come to me all the time and they're like, man, you know, Pastor, I feel like I've been, God's called me to preach. God's called me to pastor. And I'm like, all right, you've been saved 2 weeks. So, you know, I could be like, okay, you've been saved 2 weeks. Listen, buddy, just slow down. You're getting way ahead of yourself. You know, you need to wait a while. I don't do that, no, because I don't want my negative words to shut them down. If I did that, many people would never try again. But instead, what I usually do is this right here. I just say, you know what, man, that's awesome. I can see that God's got a plan for your life. This is what you need to do. You need to start studying the Word of God, and you need to really take it serious about dividing the Word of God, having an understanding of the Word of God. Here's some online things you can do to understand it better, and we talk about those things. And then I say, you know, but you know what you can do right now? You need to learn how to share your testimony. Because all of us are called to share our testimony. Whether you've been saved 1 hour, you've been saved 1 day, we're all called to share our testimony. So you need to develop your testimony. Talk about your life before God. Talk about your life after God and what God has done to transform your life. And start sharing that with people. And as you get good at sharing your testimony, God will give you more people to share that testimony with. He'll give you even bigger crowds to share that testimony with. And then eventually, as you get older and more mature, you can start adding a verse here and a verse that God is speaking to you and changing you. And that's how you grow over time. And I've seen these people grow. And some of these people are now youth pastors and worship leaders. And some are working as missionaries. And some are authors. And some are working in other places. It's just awesome to see, because we just simply have the power with our words to lift people up or to press it back down. What will you do? Will you speak out 2020 vision to people's lives? So how do we do that? Our words are shaping people's destiny. So how do we keep doing that? Four ways. Let me give you four ways today quickly. Four ways to speak 2020 vision to people. Number one, speak blessing. Learn to speak blessing. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Catch that. In us, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he's chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We have been given every blessing. That means inside me is every blessing. I have the power to bless others. I've been given the power through Christ to bless others. I can speak blessing to my life. I can speak blessing to other people's lives. I can speak blessing at my work. I can speak blessing at my school. I can speak blessing over my family. I can speak blessing over my church. I can speak blessing over my community. We have the power to speak the blessing. Every spiritual blessing has come to me through Christ, and now I have the power, the voice to activate that and put it out there. I can begin to speak the blessings of God over situations and people's lives. You know, my wife, she was destined to marry a great pastor and teacher. My wife was destined to marry a great pastor. The only problem was, when we first met, that was not me. Seriously, we were in college, and, you know, I was probably the most unlikely to be the person I am today. People were surprised I made it through one semester. Secretly, all the faculty and staff were like, he's voted number one likely to get kicked out of school, okay? That was me. And, you know, I was there, and they asked, I had to learn how to preach and teach, and I remember I would try to preach and teach, and I could not preach, teach. I would write out notes, and then when I'd get up, I was so nervous, Jeff. This is no lie. I was so nervous when I got up, my notes would go blank. It looked like either I couldn't see them or it was all written in Chinese, but I couldn't remember anything I wrote out. I couldn't see it. I was so nervous, and it was horrible. I ain't gonna lie. It was horrible. And I would come off, my wife like, oh, you did so good, honey. You did so great. You're God's, yo, that was awesome. You did great. But this is what I'm going to tell you. Even though she liked me, I think her mom had somebody else in mind. My mother-in-law, she loves me today now. She loves me, and this is great. We're great. But early on, I think she had her doubts about me because she knew her baby was destined to marry a great preacher. And we had a great preacher at our school. And when he preached, he would preach in chapel, and he preached like he was in, like he'd been preaching on TBN for 20 years, you know, like, hey, man, he'd bring the word of the Lord, and he was preaching just like this, and he preached the fire down, and he preached on this side, and he preached on that side, and people be clapping, and he had them all down. He was good, man. John was good. John was good. He was the best preacher in the whole school. And on the natural eyes, it looked like John was probably a better fit. But my wife kept speaking over me, and she kept saying things over me. And when I ministered, she would say the good things. It was funny. I was telling my kids the other day, I said, you better thank God. This guy's name was John. I said, John could have been your daddy. And I pulled up a picture on Facebook and showed him. John's a good guy. John's a great guy. This could have been your daddy. I told Landon, I said, if John was your daddy, you'd be going to school like everybody else and not playing football. I just want you to know. Why? Because my wife saw something in me. And even though she may not have seen it happening right away, she began to speak into the man God was calling me to be. And she helped shape me and build my confidence up. And when I said, hey, let's do something really crazy. I'm like, you know, let's just start a church. What? Let's do it from scratch. I know in her own mind, she's probably thinking, well, we got these churches that want to bring you in as a pastor. They're already established. They've already got a good crowd, a good system set in place, a good salary. This makes a little more sense. She probably was thinking that. But instead, she was like, honey, if God's calling us to do that, let's do it. I believe in you. I'm telling you, the power of our words means so much. And for some of you here, you need to quit focusing on what your spouse is doing wrong and start focusing in what your spouse is doing right. Start praising them for what they're doing good. Start calling the good out of them. I wish my husband would quit focusing on the negative and start focusing on what they're doing right and calling out the good in them. I'm telling you, it works. There's power in our words. Call out the good in them. Call out the good in people. We have been called to speak a blessing. Speak that blessing. Look what Matthew 16:19 says. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, this is talking about with our words, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There is power in our words. There is power in our words. We can either loose people free. People are already bound up. We can either tie them up tighter, or we can unwrap them and loose them with our words. What will it be? I want us to be people who speak blessing. I want to be a person who speaks blessing. And number two, we want to learn to speak encouragement. Let's be a person who speaks encouragement. Blessing and encouragement are close to the same thing. Let me show you the difference here. See, blessing speaks empowerment for the future. I see greatness ahead in you. I see the greatness where God's trying to take you. I see greatness of what God's going to do through you. I see what God's going to do later on. I see when you get out of this storm, God's going to bless you beyond measure. I see when you get through with this, God's going to give you a strong marriage. I see when you get through this, God's going to use you. That's blessing. I'm speaking blessing. Encouragement speaks the empowerment for today, for now. Man, you are doing a great job. Man, keep up the good work. Man, I see good things happening in you. Man, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. We need to be encouraging people, blessing them, calling out the things in the future in their life, and then encourage them every day. Speaking the blessing now. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Look what it says. Let us, talking about you and I, think of ways to motivate one another. So the Bible says we should be thinking about this. How can I help motivate you? He said, think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together. So I guess obviously missing church was still a problem back here. So he said, hey, don't neglect that, as some people do, but encourage one another. Look what he says. I want you to think of ways to motivate one another, and I want you to learn to encourage one another. This is the plan of the gospel, that we understand the power of the cross and what Jesus did to transform my life, and then I want to speak that over your life. I want to learn to encourage that over your life. And this is your challenge for 2020. I believe this very, very strong. I believe God's been giving us in my spirit very strong for this year, and to challenge you to join me, that in 2020 will be a year of encouragement. And what I mean by that is simply this. I want you to think about who was one person. Now, I wore this shirt on purpose today that says friends. And I wore it on purpose because some of you may think I'm here protesting that Friends got taken off of Netflix, and that's not why I'm wearing it, okay? The reason why I'm wearing this shirt is because I want to remind ourselves that 2020 vision is just not about me. It's about my friends as well. Who am I helping? Who am I calling out to? Who am I speaking to in their darkness? Who am I speaking to in their chaos? Who am I blessing with my words? Who am I encouraging now with my words? And I believe that God wants us. Can you imagine the radical transformation that can happen to a community, even as somebody like Destiny? Like I said, God, I want us to have a big church so we can have a big impact. Why? Can you imagine if everybody in this service and everybody in the first service, if we took this to heart and we said, I'm going to find at least one person that I can just encourage them all year long. I want to be their cheerleader. I want to speak blessing and encouragement to them all year long. God, show me that person that I can just continue to encourage. And then what if I prayed that prayer? God, every day, let me just run into somebody I can encourage. Whether it be a coworker, whether it be the person who's checking you out, whether it be the waiter or waitress. It's simply just, hey, man, thank you for doing a good job. Man, you did such a great job. I see you're really busy, and you still did an excellent job. Thank you for your work. I mean, man, just speaking encouragement to people, being encouraged. Can you imagine the difference we can all have on a community by just speaking life into people? We can change the environment of a community. Can you imagine what happens if it's taken beyond that? If we begin to speak encouragement to other churches, if we don't see them as competition, but we see them as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And now, man, I'm encouraging them. Man, I encourage them. I tell you why I have pastors love this community and across the country. I'm sending notes to encouragement to every week because I know they need it. And so, man, I'm encouraging them. Why? Because they're not my competition. They're my brother in Christ, my sisters in Christ. And so I want to encourage them. How about this year? We'll take this challenge and say, yes, I'm going to find at least one person I can invest in this year of encouragement. And I'm going to start praying every day, God, show me somebody today that I can encourage, at least one person today. How many will raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'll take that challenge. I'll do that challenge. Anybody here want to join me? Come on now. Let's say it. God, help me. Let's pray that prayer. Raise your hand. Father, thank you. God, help me to be that encourager. God, help me to be that encourager. God, show me people that I can encourage. Show me people that I can speak blessing into and speak life into in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Let me tell you, let me give you these last two, and then we're going to close. Number three, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. John 1:14 says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love. So Jesus came, and he brought unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of Father's one and only Son. John even testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when he said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From the abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. From the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ comes through our life, he brings unfailing love. And so this is what I'm called to do. I'm called to give unfailing love to people. Let me say it to you another way. People don't need our judgment. People don't need to be condemned by us. They need our love. They need our love. We love them. We love them first. And if you love them, then the door will open for you to correct them. Then if you love them, the door will open for you to correct them. And they may not always receive it, but man, you can share it in love and then know, hey, that person's been speaking blessing to my life. That person's been encouraging me. And now they're telling me I probably should pay attention because they're not just doing it because they're mad at me or they're trying to be holy. No, they're doing it because they care about me. See, people receive it when you do it the truth, when you can do it in love. Let's be encouragers. Let's be people who show love. And number four, you got to learn how to speak declarations over your life. Not decorations, declarations, okay? Declaring things. You got to be someone who learns how to declare over your life. Speak it out. Speaking the truth of God over my life and over my circumstances, over my family, over the things I have. I have got the power through my spoken word, and I've got to learn how to speak it out. But first of all, let me make it clear. We're not demanding anything, okay? We don't demand anything from God. God doesn't move because we demand him, okay? That's not going to move the heart of God, and God's not going to lift a finger just because we demand him. But what does move the heart of God is when we come into agreement with what he's already spoken, what his word has already said about me. And when I learn what that is and I come into agreement and I speak it out, I am making things, the word of God, his voice activated. And so I'm letting it out. It's not just thinking it. It's speaking it. That's where the power is at. Yes, thinking does affect things, and we need to change the way we think, but the power comes when I speak it out. Put it into action in our life. You got to learn how to declare over your circumstances. And today, I want to close out with some declarations over your life. I want to speak some things over you. So today, as I get ready to close, if I begin to share something and you say, Pastor, I want to join you. I want that for my life. You're speaking out over my life, and I want you to stand on your feet and say this with me. If you battle with insecurity, stand up. Say this with me right here. I declare over my insecurity that I am a child of God, a masterpiece of his creation. If you want a blessing over your children, maybe you're having some problem with your children, declare this. I declare over my children that God has a plan to prosper them and not to harm them in Jesus' name. If you're battling sickness in your body, I declare over my sickness that God breaks the genetic sickness and heals all my disease. Amen. How about this? Let's do this page. I declare today, if you're having a problem with condemnation and guilt, I declare that I am redeemed fully by Christ. Today, if you feel like you've been around that darkness that we talked about, I declare that I've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to God's kingdom. I love this one. We say it all the time around here. Let's say it together. I declare that no weapon formed against me will prosper. How about this one? I declare that God is working all things for my good in Jesus' name. If you believe that, put your hands together and bless the Lord. And so today, you got to learn to speak it out. Declare the word of the Lord over your life. Declare God's promises over your life, over your family, over your children. And I want you to not only do it for yourself, I want you to learn how to do it for other people. This is 2020 Vision. I'm helping people see clearly. They're getting past the rain. They're getting past the storm. And I'm calling them out. God's got a better plan for your life. I see greater things ahead for you. I see that God, listen, hear your pastor today. God's got a new season he's wanting to call you to. God's got a new level he wants to pull you up to. I believe that. I see that in your life. I see that in your business. I see that in your family. I see that in your children. God is going to do something great. Let's become people who speak out the blessing, who speak out the encouragement. Do you believe that? Put your hands together. Say amen. Come on, lead us in this course today. Let's make it personal. Today, I want to pray with you before you leave. So I kind of invite you just to open up your hands to the Lord. God, I thank you as we open up our hands to you today, that God, you're raising up people who will not be afraid to speak out. God, let us be encouragers for other people. Let's learn to encourage one another. encourage people, God. I pray to Father, out of Destiny Church will be an anointing to be encouragers, God. We can speak life over people, speak life over our situation, and we'll also not be afraid to speak over our own life and our own family. So I pray to Father, we'll speak out with boldness, speak out with life, speak out and let the light of God flood. In Jesus' name we say amen and amen. Put your hands together if you believe that. Listen, we love you. God bless you. We'll see all of our teens tonight at DCY. God bless you.